live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the
50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard
line, we going live.
I'm not behind
it. No, I know. It's all right. I'll just edit this part out.
I was like, wait, no.
I thought about it just now, too, so I'm glad you...
You're like, no, that don't look right. Yeah. All right.
And the countdown again. And three, two, one. Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. The Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 159 of the Field to the Real podcast.
Moseying on.
Look, we're not too far from 200.
We're going to have to get to work on that party.
ASAP. Yeah.
Party. Because it's going to be a party this year.
Yeah.
We're going to find COVID. Whatever is going
on. We were bound by COVID last time. So
yes.
We need to party this time.
It's a party.
And be in person.
In person, it's gonna be a party.
Party in person.
Yes, for sure. I'm excited. Yeah. All right.
So with this, who's really right that we have today?
Yeah.
I know that you guys probably noticed that we do a lot of football and basketball.
I'm not gonna apologize, but okay.
Me neither. But today we have a sport that we don't do as often. Right. We do it, but not as often.
Yes.
We're talking about tennis today.
Yeah.
And we actually have a couple other sports that you guys, you know, may have heard of, but we don't talk about much.
Or may not have, because right. I would say I didn't know what it was.
But, yeah. We'll have it coming up soon, I'll say. I won't give you guys a date, but soon.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so for this Who's Really Right, we know what's going on in Ukraine with Russia invading Ukraine and how... not even just Russian athletes, but just the people of Russia have kind of had to pay the price for the choices of the Russian leaders.
Correct.
So one of the things that's happening now is that the tennis players in Russia, or the Russian tennis players, are not going to be allowed to participate in Wimbledon this year.
Yeah.
Now, the question is that fair? Yes. Is it fair to keep these Russian players out of Wimbledon and other, you know?
Yeah, Olympics, all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
I can tell you one thing. They ain't kept Alexander Ovechkin out of hockey.
No, they're not.
And
won't.
The Capitals won't.
I was going to say, and won't, yes.
He's about the only white.
As long as he keep doing what he's doing, they're not going to.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, Steph, do you think it's fair?
I do not.
You said no?
I do not.
Okay.
And I think you in your eloquent setup for this, Who's Really Right, kind of hit on why I don't think it's fair. Because these are individuals who, much like us in America, while we have a democracy and we claim to be able to vote and put people in places to do that's neither here nor there, to do things according to what we, the people, want, right? Mm-hmm. That's neither here nor there. That's not what this is about. I'm going to stay out of that, but that is the way it's supposed to be set up here. That is not the case for the Russian people. And so, and even for us, big decisions that happen that are international or that are on a broader scale, we really don't have any say. If the president decided tomorrow that he wanted to go to war, guess what? We're just going to war.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
And so, to their defense, I feel like they're being punished for something that they had no choice in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you happen to be a tennis player who's vocal and sharing your political beliefs or your thoughts on even this war, mm-hmm. then you're then putting yourself in this position to, you know what I mean, where you're not as you might be seen in a different light by people around the world, right? Whereas when it's not your fault, it's not your choice, you don't have anything to do with it, mm-hmm. how do you get put in a place and in a space to be ostracized, is what it is. It's being ostracized for something that you had nothing to do with. I'm over here, I just happen to be in this country of Russia, and I just happen to be a tennis player who's probably working my butt off to be prepared to even be at Wimbledon, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to do with the politics, the war, the any of that. And so how am I being punished for that? It's not fair to me. It's just not fair.
Well, thank you for setting up my argument.
I know. I saw you going like, yes. Uh-huh.
So do you feel like if someone shared their views on the war and on Russia, that they should be eliminated for that?
You mean if they're Russian? Yeah. Or anybody?
Russian.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's just if you share your views. I feel like if you are, if what you say could be taken and as antagonistic or something to gaslight people. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like if you're gonna be somebody who's like, Putin is the best thing since sliced bread and everything, you know, like some people are about a certain person here in America, that everything they say is just gold and it's just the gospel, right? And so when you put yourself in that situation of saying, oh, everything Putin's saying is just right, everything he says is right, you know, all these other countries are trash, Ukraine should be out. Like, if you are being vocal like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying anybody is, I'm just giving the example. But if that were the way that you were presenting yourself publicly, mm-hmm. I feel like that would be a problem.
So I think you just highlighted two issues, right?
Yes.
And one is free speech.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think people, when they hear free speech, mm-hmm. they hear that your speech is free of consequences.
Correct.
Which it isn't.
No, it's not.
Like, you pay the price.
You have the freedom to say it, but
you
doesn't
say it, but you know, yes. You should be
aware.
You understand? You should be aware that there are consequences behind
right.
the things that you speak.
Right.
And so one of the reasons why I feel like it is fair, it's unfortunate, but it's fair, is we can't go in and look at each athlete and say, what's your beliefs? Oh, you believe this? No. What's yours? Okay, yeah. I think the thing is, the issue is that they are attempting to put pressure on the Russian government mm-hmm. by saying like, hey, your athletes can't participate in these things. And so what these athletes would then do is go to their leadership and say, hey, listen, what you're doing here is costing us. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that it has to be that way, but it's no different. Honestly, think about it. It is no different than us sanctioning the Russian government or the Russian people. So the financial sanctions that we put on them will affect everybody in that country. And a lot of those people do not share the same beliefs.
Right.
But in order to put pressure on that government, we had to sanction them. Yeah. And this is a part of it. And it's unfortunate.
It is.
It's unfortunate, but I won't even go so far as to say it's necessary. it has to be done.
I don't know.
I mean, if you believe that, and there are a lot of people who don't, if you believe that what Russia is doing is wrong, mm-hmm. because I'm going to be well-rounded here, there isn't much difference between what Putin is doing to Ukraine and what we did to Iraq.
Wow. Okay.
Now, and I know that we're in America, and you know, we get our you know, our media who tells right. us how we're supposed to feel, how we're supposed to see things.
Which is what they're doing in Russia. Yep. Same thing they're doing in Russia.
Right. Yes. If, like, let's say, what was it? Is it the 2004 Olympics? 2004 Olympics. If they say that, y'all invaded Russia and, you know, I mean, Russia, excuse me. Y'all invaded Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right, Iraq, I mean, yep.
You guys can't participate.
Mm.
That'd be fair. Now,
it didn't happen, though.
It didn't happen because we are NATO. We are NATO. I know this. I'm so sure somebody's going to hear this and be upset with the way I'm speaking, but that's the reality of it. We are the defense of NATO. A lot of those countries need us to be protected.
We are the big wig kind of.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Majority owner. If we talk about it,
sports. Exactly. The majority owner.
Yes.
So who was going to hold us accountable? So, you know, as unfortunate as it is, and I know I would be upset if I was an athlete. I would.
I guess that's I'm only looking at this from that lens. If I'm the athlete, I'm training, I'm doing everything I got to do. I don't have anything to do with that. And again, to your point, no, I don't want y'all to be like, what you believe. You don't believe? Okay. Because who am I to say what's right, what's wrong? Who's the person making that judgment?
Right.
So that in itself is a problem. But when you are being inflammatory, that is where it becomes an issue for me, mm-hmm. right? If you are using your platform, because as an athlete, you have one, mm-hmm. to push an agenda one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all just need, I mean, you can have an opinion and you can, you know what I mean? But I'll say this, I'm not even going to say you can have an opinion and if you can, if you're going to push an agenda that the majority of the people in the world don't see as good, because that's where the gaslighting part comes in, right? Like, you're going to incite things. People are going to be in the Wimbledon stands knowing that you feel that way, and they're going to be feeling some kind of way about you. And you might feel that or hear that or you incense some stuff. So I'm just... That is what I'm saying. But if you're not somebody who's being all vocal, even if you agree with Putin,
right?
But you're not out here vocally speaking about it.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with your ability to play tennis?
To me, you know what I'm saying? And we have some of the most outspoken people in the world because of your freedom and your joy.
We do.
To me, it would have to be something extreme. You would have to be a Russian person saying something to the effect of kill any Ukrainian that you see that's the only level of inflammatory, but your support for Putin, you know what I'm saying? Like, we as Black people supported, what's his name? Ooh. Bill Clinton.
Oh, I'm like, who? Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's why, Bill, you know, we got people who are still, you know, affected by that crime bill. And so it's just, you know, it'd be hard to be like, no, yes, no.
No, that's not possible.
You know,
like that, like either you're going to let them over mm-hmm. or you're not. And you're just going to have to deal with the consequences, basically. Right. But, you know, and I did say, you know, unless there's somebody who's being very vocal. But even they're going to have to deal with the consequences of their freedom of speech, like you said. Mm-hmm. When they get to Wimbledon and people are booing you or letting you know how they feel about your response, then you just have to deal with that, right? But to deny them because they live in a country that they have no control over, mm-hmm. it seems wrong. We can talk this all day.
Right.
It's funny, I had somebody say to me, are you all really a sports show?
Right, yeah, because look, we
yeah, everything. Like, you talk about everything. That's what they say. You talk about everything. Like, are you really a sport? We are, because we're going to bring this back to the athlete, is the point. That the Russian tennis players are being punished for something that they didn't do. Mm-hmm. So you let us know who's really right. I don't think it's fair. Jared's like, it's a part of the pawn game we got to play in order to try to get somebody decide to do what we want them to do.
Right. Right. It's unfortunate, but it's all political. It really is.
It is.
You know, I see this as kind of similar to what Olympics was it when the Germans weren't allowed to come? I think it was somewhere around World War II. The German team wasn't allowed to come because, you know, they were doing what they were doing over there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
this is on par.
So much to unpack from that. Lord, it just sends my head into all kinds of stuff that's going on. So we'll just keep it moving.
Yeah, uh-huh. You guys let us know who's really right.
Yeah.
Real good topics.
Yep.
All right. So Kelsey Whitmore.
Yes.
The first woman to start in baseball's Atlantic League.
Yes.
And this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is kind of a, it's not the minors. It's kind of, I don't know what I would describe it as.
I do think they consider it minors, but it's more like development, like the G League would be the developmental league.
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean? Like the developmental league for what basketball's equivalent of the G League might be.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's more like a developmental league. But either way, still very huge. Starting, like, you on the field. Like, we're not going to just dismiss it. She was on the field. Now, mind you, she's been with the team, I think, 2 years now. And sorry, I didn't write down the name of the team, but it's somewhere in Carolina, actually, I think.
Okay.
But she has been coaching and everything. So I think she was the first, she's been the first base coach. So for her to have this opportunity to actually get out on the field though and participate was huge. I love it. I'm here for it. You're looking it up, I can tell. Yeah. Yes, I'm here for it. So she's it's been like the thing that lets you know is really big. It's been, I mean, everywhere I look, it's a story about it.
Right.
It's really cool. So kudos to her. Like, that's not a feel-good final thought, but kudos to her for sticking it out, because I can imagine what that environment is like. Because even at the upper echelon of baseball, women being involved is very rare in that, you know, team environment. And in the offices, but in the team environment, very rare.
I'm different. Yeah, so let me say this first. So she's a member of the Staten Island Fairy Hawks.
Staten Island, that's it. Right. Okay, why did I think? Oh, they must have played Carolina.
They played Gastonia.
That's what it was.
North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite movies all time is A League of Their Own.
Yes, I love that. Yes.
One of my favorite movies. And so that's actually one of the baseball is one of the sports where I feel like a woman could, maybe not seamlessly, but a woman could integrate that sport and play with the men.
It's less about strength and speed, the things that kind of separate men and women in some ways, right? And so absolutely, baseball is one of those. And I feel like Because softball is so close.
Right.
So women that play softball, it's kind of like the guys, a lot of these guys who are now coming into the NFL were rugby players.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's easily translatable, right? The skill sets are. And so I feel like softball is one of the things that's easily translatable to football. I mean, to baseball. And so I love this for her. And I hope that we'll see more of it. Obviously, I didn't even bother to look to see how she did, but it doesn't matter. It's just awesome. I thought this was really a good thing, like, to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a fan of it.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So Coach Prime is mad.
To say the least. And well, he should be. Coach Prime is mad at him for being mad. He should be.
He should be, definitely. One of the things that he called out was that at Jackson State's pro day, he had 24 NFL teams to show up. And for those of you who don't know, there are 32 NFL teams. So 8 NFL teams made the decision that they weren't going to show up to Jackson State.
And put this in some context for them, Jared, because every Power 5 team that has a pro day,
Every team is there.
Is going to be there.
Well, and one of the things that I was going to say is that 24 teams made it to Jackson State. And some of that was purely off of the fact that Deion Sanders is there and he's the coach. Some of these other Black colleges, they're not getting 24 teams coming to check them out.
No, not at all.
And so it's a bit disheartening. As an HBCU grad, because we've seen the waves, we've seen, you know, the 70s and 80s.
90s. And it was 90s. 90s. It was, yeah, that's when, like, you know, they were number one pick draft picks. It wasn't just, you know, because this draft, just so y'all also context for you, this draft, there were 4 players picked from HBCUs. And they were all in the late rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And Deion did have one player.
One player drafted, yeah.
But that is not the point.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in seeing, and this is probably something I should have looked up before, I'd be interested to see how many of his players were invited to camp, or how many HBCU players in total were invited to camp.
You mean like after the draft?
Yeah, undrafted free agents. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that we were seeing is like there was a period where not only were HBCU graduates not drafted, they weren't even getting invited to camp as an undrafted free agent. Right. So I'd be interested in seeing like, you know, what that looked like this year. Yeah. Because it can only get better with Deion Sanders putting the spotlight on it.
Right. And then you got Eddie George. I mean, it's so many of these former NFL players that are now a part of these HBCU programs. So that's all helpful. But again, it goes back to this mindset that the talent is less.
Right.
And if you look at let's just look at the 90s. And I just, one particular person that was drafted in the 90s that should have, well, there were a whole bunch of them drafted in the 90s that should have given them some clues, but one of them, Steve McNair.
Ed McNair, Alcorn State.
If that was not an indicator for these schools, and I mean, these teams to know that those schools are not producing less talent, lesser talent. Like, just understand this man was the starting quarterback of a whole football team. So I don't know where this, like in the last 30 years, where this idea that they're less has come from. I mean, I guess it's been kind of derived and put together, if you will, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody wants all of the talent to really go to the PWI and the Power Five schools. Mm-hmm. So let's make them feel lesser. Let's kind of, I'm not getting into conspiracy theory, but.
No, listen, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I'm going to put you all the way there.
So I feel like it's been kind of done on purpose, but I hope that Deion's being vocal about this, as well as the shift that we've already talked about in several episodes of seeing some more of these high profile talents going to these HBCUs. I mm-hmm. hope that it brings the spotlight back and that more talent will be plucked from this as this tree. I will say that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's funny, you mentioned Steve McNair. I got another name for you. First Black quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Doug Williams.
Yeah. I don't know how I forgot his name just that quickly when he played for my team.
Yes, he did.
You know what I'm saying? Grambling State graduate. Yeah. And so, HBCUs have a rich history, and I do understand that as the more high-profile players started to go to PWIs, it kind of lessened the talent pool. But we see that there have been players that come out. Like, shout out to Antoine Bethea, one of my teammates at Howard. He got drafted in the sixth round, and honestly, like, he should have gone higher. Who did I say?
Just now?
Antoine Bethea, right?
Antoine Bethea. Okay.
Well, because I was thinking about Ron Bartel as well. Who he was drafted, another one of my teammates drafted in the second round my sophomore year in 2004. Yay. And so, you know, we've had players who've gone and who've done well. And so I just don't understand why they don't see the value. You know,
I mean, you go and pick kids from these little bitty schools that are PWI, by the way. But you go on, you will go into the cracks and crevices to find these kids in these little schools, but not having the same lens for the HBCU student is just kind of, it just doesn't sit right. And so I hope that what Deion is saying resonates and gets the attention of the people it needs to. And maybe the NFL can have another stupid rule that all 32 teams have to send a representative to visit the HBCUs, because we didn't even put that other stupid thing they just came up with on here today. But woo, y'all, just stupid. It wasn't even worth breath.
It wasn't worth talking about.
Just what are y'all doing? It just didn't make sense. So, yeah. Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins spent 6 games for PEDs, which means that this wasn't his first offense. Because I think the first one you get suspended 4 games, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Or did they change it?
It might have been changed. I'm not.
Just because he does, I don't remember this being an issue for him when he was in Houston.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being an issue for him in Houston. But either way, he is on one about this one, okay?
Oh, yeah.
He is on one. He's like, no, I got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Like, what's really happening? Because here's the thing, people. A lot of times these athletes are being, what is the word I want to use? I don't want to say prescribed, but suggestions are made to them of things to do to help their body, whether that's recovery or if that's, something's aching and just do this because use this because. And they're just trusting that the people who are telling them these things are up on all of the new what's right, what's wrong, what's not allowed, what's okay. And a lot of times that's not the case and it's not fair to them. Again, here I go about being fair. But it's not fair to them because I'm trusting that you know what you do. But then here's the lesson for the athlete. You need to check for yourself to make sure that before you put something in your body, it is something that is not being looked at in a negative way by the NFL or any sport.
Well, so, and that's what they tell them. They like, you're responsible for what goes in your body. So you can't use somebody else. You have to check. because you are going to be held responsible. And so, but there are times, and there have been times where the NFL was wrong. And so I don't know the circumstances, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking for the rest of this, yeah.
But, you know, there have been times where they've been wrong. So it doesn't look like, this looks like his first
offense. That's what I thought. I don't believe he's been it. That's why, and he doesn't, he's not that kind of dude. Like, the first thing to come out of his mouth when this came out was, I hate that this is making my team feel like I'm letting them down, but I got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why we're talking about it. Because if it was just, yeah, oh, I did it, and oh, well, you know. But I feel like there's a story here, yeah, that we're going to have to, like, kind of follow to get more information on. And so I just wanted to talk about it from the standpoint of stop trusting these people to just, with your money and your body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you.
I'm all off on something else, but yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Draymond Green is at the center of controversy again. But this time, J.J. Redick comes to his defense, and he drags Chris Mad Dog Rousseau for another shut up and play statement, which he made, where he says that older fans don't like Draymond and he's polarized.
Yeah.
So J.J.'s retort is that Draymond Green has his own Turner Back podcast, and that he didn't care about older fans' opinions because, like Fox News and Rousseau, they are of that own opinion to shut up and play.
Yeah. I loved it. I was here for it. I was like, go, JJ.
Yeah, I love JJ. And I didn't like him so much.
I love JJ. I have always loved JJ.
I couldn't stand him. I could not stand him. Being a fan of the University of Maryland.
Okay.
He dashed a couple of hopes of mine, namely the 2001 Final Four, I believe it was, when I think Duke won the national championship there,
yep,
but they beat Maryland in the
Final Four. Get there. Yep.
Now Maryland went on to win the next year, but
that's nevertheless that year. Yes. It belonged to, yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love JJ. I have always loved JJ. I love his game. I love his attitude. He ain't got so much swag, but he got a little swag about him. Mm-hmm. Like, I just like him. And so when he was on and talking, and Chris Rousseau was having this conversation, like, he's not like a Waltz, or he's not like a somebody. And JJ Redick just said, listen, that's all well and good. This is a new day. These are not the same kind of players. He has a right to his opinion. Somebody wants to hear him that Turner would then turn around and actually sponsor his podcast. Right. Somebody wants to hear him. And JJ said, I don't care about what these old people say. Like, it ain't about them. It's a new day. It's a new era. Let that man speak if he want to speak, right? And I totally agree. Like, the one thing I know about Draymond Green is he is not a malicious, mean person.
Yeah.
He is a passionate, sometimes a little over the top person.
Yeah.
But he is not a mean person. Like, he is somebody who operates in emotion, which can get you in trouble.
He is a habitual line stepper.
That is right. He is always at the boundary with his toe over the line.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
But you, I mean, he still feels good natured. You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't believe he's a bad person. I just feel like this is one of those cases. And it could be something that, y'all, anybody who watches this knows me. You know that my head straight goes to mental health, right?
Mm.
This could be a situation where he needs a diagnosis, because And it's not a bad thing. I need people to stop thinking about mental health in a bad way. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, because he seems to be somebody who is incapable or unable, or even maybe here it is, unwilling,
mm-hmm,
to not allow his emotions. I feel like that is his strength in playing basketball. And so he does not know how to not use them mm-hmm. in every interaction.
Yeah.
Right? He is always feels like he's always in a very emotional manner, like saying things or doing things or shooting birds at people or, you know, that, well, all that. So, yeah, I just feel like it's just the passion part of him, and it comes out in a not so good way all the time. But to say he need to shut up and play basketball is a problem.
Nah.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Is anybody telling, because it's funny to me that he would say this, that he's polarizing, but his coach is a very vocal coach.
Right.
About what he like and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I was just watching the game the other night, and listen, don't interview Steve Kerr when he pissed. That's all I'm going to say. Because she was trying to interview him, and she said, well, what do you think? Because it was the game where Draymond got the cut, and where Gary Payton II got the elbow injury.
Yeah.
Within the first, 3 minutes of the game, this happened.
Yeah.
And so she interviews him, I think, at between the quarters or something, and he is like, she said something, what are you feeling about how the game's going, blah, blah, blah. He was like, oh, you mean how they playing dirty? Oh!
Well, if you got Draymond Green on your team, you're going to have to wear that, because what he did to Dylan Brooks in game 1, got him kicked out of the game, could have got him suspended the way he did it. Now, I think that they probably eased up on him. Because
he was trying to hold a man up. He wasn't trying to let him fall. He was. He grabbed him, and then he kept holding him, trying to hold him up.
He yanked him down. And this
but
is
then he was holding on to him.
No. He yanked him down.
He did.
He went all the way to the floor, and then he tried to pick him up. And
no, he did not. That's not true, Jerry.
That is the actions of somebody who realized, I'm about to get suspended for this. Or I'm about to get kicked out of this game.
I don't know that he was thinking alike.
Nah. And that pull down that he did is not a natural motion. So you know that he did that on purpose.
Yeah, no, that part I get. I'm not arguing that he should have gotten a flagrant foul. I'm arguing, I don't know the intent was to try to harm this man.
And that's why I say he's a habitual line stepper. I don't know if he was trying to.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wanted him to be injured.
No.
But he definitely did that on purpose. And so I
was questioning. Yeah, he did it on purpose, but I don't think it was with the intent to hurt him. Unlike now, Brooks was the one that hurt Gary Payton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand from Brooks' point. Well, if you're going to play like that, then let's do it.
But you're going to do it to Draymond then, not me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. He should have did it
to Draymond. Like, you're going to do it to Draymond, not me.
He's like, I'm going for whoever.
No, you can't do that. No. So, but yeah, I just, in his defense, though, I feel like he's just, it's the emotions. If we can wrangle them in sometimes,
mm-hmm.
he'd be good. But as far as him being able to say what he wants to say, as long as he's not your habitual line stepper, as long as he's not line stepping,
right?
I'm all for it. He has an opinion. He has the right to have an opinion.
Yeah.
So anyway,
real roll call.
Yeah.
All right. Now this one, I don't know if a minute is going to do me justice, but I'm going to take my little 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. And
I don't know if any, well, two of these three, I don't know if a minute is enough, but go ahead.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So Hugh Jackson's allegations against the Cleveland Browns have been found by an independent investigator to be unsubstantiated.
Yes.
All right. Is this over? What does this mean for Brian Flores' case? And go.
I do not feel like this is over. And it may be over as far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned and Hugh Jackson's situation, but I do not believe that this is going to affect Brian Flores' case or anybody else who is making any allegations. I don't feel like it's going to affect them because the only problem I have with this, let me just say this, is this whole, who who's the independent investigator working for? Who's paying them? That is my problem. That is it. Okay. I'm trying to stay in. I'm in. Go.
You're good, because that's my whole point right there. We've seen what the NFL will do with an independent investigation. See Washington Redskins, and I'm using their old name because that's when the investigation happened. See them, because the only thing that was uncovered were some emails from John Gruden. Yeah, so, and that's why I don't think it's over, because who did the investigation?
That's the part. And I feel like Hugh Jackson's smart enough a guy that he'll be like, we can find two can play that game. Let me get my own independent investigator then and try this again.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all. We had to go over me.
All right. So, John Moran's dad. So, he's been, according to some people, he has been doing a lot lately. Has he been LeVar Ball-like? And go.
I will say in the sense that I feel like LeVar Ball's ultimate thing was live vicariously through his sons. And I feel like this is the same thing that Ja Morant's dad is doing in a sense. But I will give him some credit that I feel like he's also more so supporting his son, less about him. But you do too much sometimes, and then they make me feel ball-like. I don't like it.
So you know how I feel about LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
When he is doing too much, I'll say he's doing too much. But when, like, maybe not in the case of LeVar Ball, but some of these guys and these kids, like, as a father, you're putting all of this energy into these kids. And when they get to this level, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the culmination of all the work as a father that you've done for these kids. And they should definitely enjoy it.
Yes.
As a father, you're proud to have them get to this point. Yes. And so I'll call it out when he's doing too much. And maybe it is LeVar Ball-like. But I still, at the end of the day, think that they're just supporting their kids.
All right. I'm glad we just had a minute, because we were about to have a whole conversation about that. Trying to look like Usher. And I just, come on, man. Like, really?
Hey, listen, I that was Usher. When I first saw it, I thought that was Usher.
Anyway, but he just, you know what? This is what I'll say. The man is enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
He's enjoying life. He's enjoying the fruits of what his son is able to give him right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. How about that? Is it extra? Absolutely. But.
All right, last one. So the NFL hired 14 new refs, including the first Asian American. I'm sorry, something popped up. The first Asian American who's joining the NFL ranks and staff.
Lo Van Pham.
How do you feel about seeing this?
So I'm excited about seeing the 14 new refs, right? I mean, unfortunately, some of it's retirement, but a lot of it has been death within the NFL too. They lost quite a few people. And so I'm excited about new blood coming into the NFL, and especially excited to see diversity. We've already seen women, and that's great. And now to see cultural diversity and ethnic diversity is amazing. I mean, Black, there are quite a few, you know, it's there, but to see it just across other cultures and ethnicities is great to see. I'm excited. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think this is on brand with the NFL's, you know, what they've been doing to kind of expand, you know what I'm saying, into other countries and other markets. I feel like a lot of what the NFL does is performative, and it's, you know, and it's unfortunate that I have to feel that way. They, you know, right, checking the box. But they're going to do what they feel makes the most financial sense, which is crazy that they haven't signed Kaepernick yet.
Let's not go there. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to slide that one in there.
somebody need a job. That's all I say. Okay.
Mental health moment.
Yes.
Now, you put me onto this one because I had absolutely no idea about it.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just introduce it and then
okay, so
Adrian Peterson, anybody who knows, let me just say, for those who are not sports fans, running back, amazing running back, NFL veteran, high skilled guy, right? Background, Adrian Peterson was suspended for a year, I think. It was a whole year, I believe. For corporal punishment for his child, right? And then this past February, I think he was headed to the Super Bowl.
He was leaving the Super Bowl.
So there was an incident. I guess they would consider it just a domestic violence incident that happened. And he was arrested in LA. And so what they've come to an agreement for him is that he would do 20 sessions of domestic violence and alcohol counseling over the next 6 months. And so he won't end up having to go to jail for this. And so my question was, is this the best response? And the reason I'm asking, the reason I have the look on my face that I do, the reason that I'm kind of like about these types of things is, well, we know about rehab or counseling for situations such as this or others is typically the person needs to be, this needs to be their decision.
Right.
In order for it to be effective. This goes back to what we just talked about, kind of. Otherwise, it's I'm checking the box so that I get what I want, and then I can go back to doing what I did or did not do. This is why a lot of times when people do interventions and you force an ultimatum on somebody, they're going to just go with it to get you off their back. Not necessarily, and this isn't every case. Not necessarily, though, are they doing it because this is, oh, okay, I see, this is really bad and I need to change this.
Right.
So free will is what I'm talking about here. And somebody having the ability to make a decision when it's when they're ready. You telling him to go is checking. This is why people relapse so much when it comes to like drugs and alcohol and stuff. When you're forced to do it, when you go, I had a car accident and I hit somebody and now I got to go to DUI school or counseling. That's a Band-Aid on a whole like slice of your arm being gone.
Right.
Anyway, that's
I think one of the things that I think I do agree with what you're saying, right? I think that given the options, if the option is to just send him to jail, you know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't help either.
No, right? No, that's not what I meant.
I know that. I know that. But I'm just looking at that. Looking at the options. And so,
of course, it's going to take it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. But no, I just mean that in looking at those options, I think the thought is that even if he doesn't feel like he needs to go now, maybe once he gets in there, you can see if, okay, this will lead to change behavior.
Yeah.
Because we know that jail is not going to lead to change behavior at all.
No, that is not what it's supposed to do.
And so if this doesn't lead to change behavior, and I hate that I even got to say this, because if it doesn't lead to change behavior, then maybe he should be in prison. But then you don't want to put his family in a situation where, okay, we had him do this, it did not lead to change behavior, and he seriously hurt somebody or
right.
So I mean, it's one of those. It's a catch 22. Like,
it is. I guess, and I'm not arguing about whether the jail or the
I knew you were.
It's the thing. I'm arguing, is this the what is I would like for us to discover a better a better alternative to how you get there, like, right, how you get to the point, like, mm-hmm. if it's, instead of saying you got to go do these 20 sessions for 6 months, da 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 da, it's, listen, maybe you got to go through some sessions, you got to do some work, and then you might decide that you want to go.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
well, no, and that's what I think this is, though. I think this is, listen, either you go to jail or you go sitting here and do this work and do it for real. We don't know what the...
Do it for real, I guess.
Right. But we don't know what the stipulations are about behind it. You know, whether it's I just go complete it or mm-hmm. there need to be some markers. Like, you, who was it? You saw Ray, right?
Yes.
Movie Ray?
Yes.
But Ray Charles ain't really want to go to, you know what right. I'm saying? He didn't right. really want to go to...
Rehab.
Yeah.
But
he went, and once he got in there, they uncovered some of that trauma, and then he was able to kind of work through it.
Yeah.
Now, I know that was a movie, and some of that was for entertainment value, but it seems like at least it was closely aligned around that storyline.
Absolutely. So, and it does happen. I do know that. Yes.
And so I think that's what the hope is with this.
I mean, I hope that it does work. I'm not saying that it won't. I'm just saying sometimes these are just, I'm going to check the box type things that don't end up getting the result that you really want to see happen.
Right. Like the person
who
has to do community service, but they either don't go and don't do it, or they're not doing anything extraneous enough for it to be.
I feel like, it's not punitive. It doesn't fit, because the point of it is kind of punitive, right? But it don't feel punitive if I ain't really doing, like, okay, you said go pick. Okay, I can do that. Like, no, it doesn't get you what you're looking for, I guess is what I'm saying. And so I guess the fact that it's 20 sessions, at least they didn't say five. Like, that would have been a red flag. At least they're saying this is must be 20, it must be intensive. For it to be 20 sessions?
20 sessions, that's a year.
It must be intensive, and so, because that's almost half a year. Mm-hmm. 6 months.
6 months.
So I'm hoping that if he doesn't go in with the mindset of I'm looking to change, then he certainly comes out changed.
Yeah.
That's the hope. But I still feel like we need to not make this like this Band-Aid thing, like, because what if he doesn't? Like, what happens after 20 sessions and he's still in the same space? What happens then? I think would be my bigger question, right? Even if this is the direction you send somebody, what happens then? If they've gone through 20 sessions and you still, as the professional who's seeing this person, evaluating this person, don't feel like they really got it, what then? Because they checked the box at this point.
Well, probably either more. That's why I'm like, we don't know what the stipulations are.
Is that going to be something that they make him do, though? Because you've checked the box at this point. You did what we told you you had to do. But if the person that's evaluating you says, but this isn't enough, he needs more.
Mm-hmm.
But you've checked the box at that point.
Yeah.
So if you're not really, if in 6 months you ain't got it, you might not have it still.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this is not to put this on Adrian Peterson, because I hope that he wants what he's getting. Yeah. He's good.
No,
I
know what you're saying, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, removing Adrian Peterson and putting any man, any woman,
anybody in this situation. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sorry. It's just, you know, we've been doing something a little different with Mental Health Month lately, because I'm just starting to see scenarios and stories and, like, wait a minute, let's talk about this for real. So, yeah, like, if you're going to go through this, go through it with an open heart and mind and receiving what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, feel good final thought?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So, Go ahead.
So Tom Hodges, he lost his sight at the age of 12. Just his left eye.
Mm-hmm.
But he's about to be able to make his NHL debut, which is a dream come true for him.
Yes.
After losing sight in his left eye when he was 12.
Yeah. I think he said when he was like 5 or 6 is when he knew he wanted to play hockey. Mm-hmm. And then losing his sight, like a setback, but he didn't let it. It was a setback for the setup that is now giving him this opportunity. So very excited for him. That's awesome. He's actually a goalie, I believe, which is in itself amazing.
Right. Yeah. Because.
Yeah. Right. Puck coming at you at. Okay. Luckily, you got all this gear on, so you're safe. Yeah. For the most part, but I think it's just tremendous. And I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah. Shout out to him. You know, that's perseverance on another level. You know what I'm saying? We see all of these athletes who overcome like some serious odds just to kind of make their dream come true. But for Tom Hodges to be able to do this at the highest level is amazing. And so salute to you, sir.
Yes.
For overcoming these odds.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing.
Yeah. For
sure. All right.
All right, show picks. What you watching?
Listen, let me tell you something. This movie, I was all kinds of emotional.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Well, I felt every kind of emotion there is. Watching this movie, King Richard, which is obviously Will Smith is playing Serena and Venus's dad,
right?
In this movie, and this story, it needed to be made into a movie.
Okay. Oh, so I should check it out.
What? Listen, it was phenomenal.
Well, I've been standing with Chris Rock for the last. I don't believe that you just get to go up on stage and start slapping people.
No, listen. Well, you know what, maybe what why I was okay with this is because I said in my head, this is the logic I used. This happened before that.
Yeah.
That was the logic I used in my head was.
I gotta wait to tell you the joke I was gonna say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wait. But yeah, so it was.
Oh, it's so inappropriate.
It was so good though.
Yeah.
It literally, I think I shared with you before we started the podcast the declaration, one of the declarations I put out. The mindset that Richard Williams had. Mm-hmm. Was one of declaration.
Yeah.
And to see his girls living up to those declarations was powerful. I always watch movies, not every movie I watch, trust me, but a lot of the times I'm always watching movies with a deeper spiritual like lens. And this was one of those that was like, okay.
You know,
it's a life changer kind of movie.
You saying that makes me think or makes me wonder when we're going to get the LeVar Ball movie.
My mama told me if I don't have nothing nice to say.
Don't say never know. I need that LeVar Ball movie.
I won't watch.
Three boys to the NBA?
So Chris Rock can play LeVar.
Huh?
Chris Rock can play LeVar.
Uh-huh. No, Charles Barkley gonna play LeVar Ball.
Oh! Definitely not watching that movie, okay?
Yeah.
Rest assured I will not be watching that movie.
I messed myself up. I'm probably not watching that movie either.
Ooh, but, no, I'm good. Yeah, no, I don't want to see that movie. I'm good. He was a character now. It was some foolery going on up in there. Believe it.
I vividly remember the late 90s and some of the stuff that they were talking about with Richard Williams. So,
some foolishness was going around up in there, okay? But at the end of the day, the love, belief, and strength that he had for his girls, Mm-hmm. All five of them, not just the ones.
Yeah.
Not just the two that went on to be, you know, tennis stars, but all five right. of them mm-hmm. was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you watch?
All right. So I know that a couple of weeks ago I already said this, but there is a new season and Sonya Richards Ross is on it. And so I'm back on Atlanta Housewives.
Okay.
I'm back on it. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't get to finish episode 1 of season 14 last night, but I will be finishing it tonight. And so, yeah, I'm interested in seeing. I saw the little clips. So I'm interested in seeing how Sonya Richards Ross is able to mesh. And not even just her. I want to see how Aaron Ross is able to mesh with the husband slash men of the group. Because Candy,
I have no husband, idea about none of this. Because
I know. Candy's husband, you know who Candy Burris is.
I do.
So Candy's husband Todd. I love how they all kind of form like this brotherhood, mm-hmm. you know. And now mm-hmm. Mike Hill is a sports analyst.
That sounds familiar. Okay. Yeah, no,
you say Mike Hill, and okay. I want to say it might be Fox Sports, but I'm not entirely certain.
That name sounds familiar. Okay.
Yeah, but he just married about a year ago. He married Cynthia Bailey.
So, okay.
Well, not even a year ago. It was probably like 6-7 months ago. But okay. I just love the camaraderie that they have, and I'm anxious to see how Aaron Ross fits in that. The Super Bowl winning Aaron Ross.
Had to say that part.
Yeah.
Okay. No, this is interesting. All right. We'll see. I don't know. You know, I have no clue. I think the last Real Housewives of Atlanta I watched still had Kim and Nene on. So if that tell you anything.
Oh, yeah. That was some time ago.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. I'm good. Like, yeah, I'm good.
We had the end of another one, episode 59. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. We have a Twitter and an IG. Our Twitter is field2therealp1. IG is @field2therealpodcast. And if you want to hit us up on Facebook or go to our YouTube page, just over Stephanie's shoulder is which you would have to search, and that's Field to the Real Podcast. No number on that one. That's Field to the Real Podcast. Definitely hit us up. Go to our YouTube. Look at our videos. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all of that. If you want to send us some feedback, we will definitely appreciate it. Nothing disrespectful, though, because, yeah.
We'll get deleted. Yeah. And let me shout out to my marathon health family.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday for everybody hopping on to support and looking for the podcast. And my one of my coworkers said, oh, I went to Apple Podcasts. As soon as I put Field in, y'all popped up. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. So shout out to them for supporting us.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yes.
All right. Well, we at the end of another one.
All right.
Out of here. Peace.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.